if you have a Bible and you're able to turn to it, the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament. The first book in the New Testament is Matthew, followed by Mark. And Mark chapter 8, please. Mark chapter 8. Gospel of Mark chapter 8. And we're just going to read one verse there, verse 36. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 36. Now, if your Bible was to show the words of the Lord Jesus, these would be words that are in red to distinguish them from others. But not everyone has a Bible like that. But these words, nevertheless, are the words of the Lord Jesus. And it says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 36, for what shall it profit a man? What would he gain if he was to gain the whole world? Imagine if you had it all. The whole world. And everything that went with it. And everything in it. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's kind of personal, doesn't it? Because it doesn't say, what if everyone lost their souls? But it tells us the reminder of one. One soul. The importance of the soul. The Lord Jesus is speaking about it. And he says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want to read another text, please. And that's from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 23. Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. We're going to read about the most important place in all the world. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 33. Luke 23 and verse 33. Luke 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors or the thieves, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Trust that God will bless what we've read from his precious word tonight. Some things are important. Some things only seem important. Most of us would think that family is important, and we believe it is. But other people might consider that games and sports and entertainment, why, that's really important to them. And some people never really figure out what's important. There's a story that's told about a man, and it was on Associated Press News, a man who was extremely wealthy over in Britain. And he owned a huge estate and he inherited huge amounts of money. And this man lived to be over 90 years old. And in his 90 years, he seemed to just have one single objective. And he used his money and his estate. And he hired others to try and bring about this one thing that he was focused on. And you know, you really can't blame a person for being focused on something. But this man, he was focused on one thing. He wanted to see produced a perfectly spotted mouse. He didn't get it. He had no idea. Imagine spending your whole life, using your whole fortune, using your time and the place where you lived, all with one purpose like that, just to produce a perfectly spotted mouse. I'm sure that you're saying what I said. He just doesn't get it. But what is important? What is really important? The Lord Jesus points out something here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 36. Something that is vitally and really important. You notice he says, what will it profit a person? What would a person gain, or what would they be advantaged if they were to gain the whole world? Now, as dazzling as that might seem, you'll never get it. But supposing it were possible. Supposing you could say, it's all mine. Mine to do whatever I want. Mine to have. Mine to control. It's all mine. Supposing you had it all. But the Savior said you were to lose your soul. He said, what would you have gained? The Lord Jesus is pointing out the value of one soul. And that soul he's talking about is yours. Now, we know that we have a body. That's not our soul. The body is the part that touches the material world around us, and it sees it through the five senses that we have as human beings. We talk about them, and teachers will tell us about them. Sight and smell and hearing and taste and touch and all of those things, they have to do with our body. But the Bible says that we have a spirit. And the spirit's the spiritual part of us. And we have senses for that too. And those senses spiritually are the ones of faith and hope and prayer. But the Lord Jesus here is emphasizing another part of what we are. And it's the real you. It's the core of you. It's what you are and are going to be. And forevermore, you could lose the preciousness of your soul. Now, when the Lord Jesus asked this question, he didn't ask this question because it wasn't necessary, and he didn't ask it for a foolish reason. The Lord Jesus had a very searching and illuminating reason for asking this question. This was very important to him. It meant a lot to him. And the reason this question meant so much to him was because you mean so much to him. You say, really? Yeah, it's really true. The Lord Jesus showed it in his attitude even towards the little children that came to him. And towards the poor. And the lame and the blind and the halt and the various ones that approached the Lord Jesus. He treated them all the same when they came to him. He took an interest in them because we mean a lot to him. He was concerned about our souls. I remember a man, the night actually I got saved, who was in our home. And I remember he put his hand on my shoulder and he said some words that I don't remember. But I remember what I thought. I thought, this man cares about my soul. And it's time I cared. And that night I came to the conclusion that if there was God's salvation for Gary Sharp, then I was going to go after it. And that's a marvelous truth when a person realizes that they are something so precious in the eyes of God. Something that's going to live. And something that's going to exist forever, either in heaven or in hell. And the Savior said, what would a person gain if they were to be able to lay their hands on everything in the world and say, it's mine, and yet to lose their soul beyond hope forevermore? The Lord Jesus, he was very concerned that people like you and me would take this serious matter serious. This is an important question. If the Lord Jesus was here tonight and he was to turn to you and he'd say, what would you gain if you had it all, but life came to its end and you're looking into eternity and you lost? lost everything forevermore. The importance of your soul. There's nothing in the world worth losing your soul for. Not friends, not popularity, not even our family. And we, each of us, have to make up our mind as to whether it's important to us or not, that God has given us something, the real you, inside that body. That real you is going to be somewhere forever. You say, how do you know that? Well, maybe you remember the story in the beginning of the Bible where God made Adam. And he made him out of dust. And no doubt there was a lot of shaping that took place. And then what does it say? It says, God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. That is, someone who is going to be forevermore. Someone who, even when the body, like a tent, dies, is going to be in either heaven or hell forever, without end, without escape, without change. Oh, the awful reality that what we have that's been given us so precious from God could be lost forevermore. But we read about something else that's very, very important tonight. When we read about Calvary, it says, when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Here we have the most important place, the most important event, the vital place, the place where the work that needed to be done to save us from a lost eternity was accomplished by the Savior. In spite of all you've heard about Calvary, and I hope you've heard about it before, have you missed out on its truth, on its vital importance, on its value? The Savior looked at those who were responsible for his death that day. They took him with wicked hands and crucified the Savior, the one who came for them, the one who was going to do all that was necessary to bring about a right relationship with God so that they could know wonderful forgiveness of sins and peace with God himself. And they took him and crucified the Lord Jesus on a cross. And he looked at them. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I remember having some meetings a number of years ago in Garnerville, Iowa. And there was a young fellow, 17 years of age, coming along to those meetings, and he wanted to be saved. And he talked to us a number of times after the meeting, and he didn't seem to get anywhere. What we didn't know was the stuff that was going on in his home was really quite tragic. His mom actually shot herself a few months later. And this guy knew about all that was going on in his house. And for some reason, it seemed to hinder him from reaching out and receiving God's salvation. And we had showed him verse after verse in the scriptures, gospel verses, truths like John 3 and 16, truths like John 5 and 24 that you heard last evening, truths that reveal Christ as the Savior, and he just couldn't seem to see it. And that night we didn't know what to read. And so we had him read here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. And he read, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said, Jesus. And he looked at those words, Father, forgive them. He stopped reading. Tears came to his eyes. He never said another word to us. We drove him home 7 miles to where he lived. We dropped him off. He never said a word. You know, if you're a preacher and I'm a preacher, you want to know what happened. And he didn't tell us. I waited all the next day for the phone to ring, for him to call and say, something at least. And there wasn't a word from Preston. The next night, I walked into the gospel hall there in Garnavillo, and I walked into the restroom to make sure my hairs were in the right place. And Preston was in the washroom. And I said, "Preston, I want a yes or a no answer." I said, "Did you get saved last night?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Tell me what happened." He said, "When I read those words, then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them.'" He said, "I knew he was praying for me." And understand that what the Lord Jesus was doing on that cross was because of Preston's sins and my sins and yours tonight. So that we could understand that we don't need to be lost forever. We don't need to ever endure the wrath of God against our sin. Can I just counsel you tonight to think about this cross at Calvary? Look at Him, the one who endured the stripes and the wounds and the gall. Look at Him bleeding, writhing, in anguish and pain. Look at Him who suffered for us unimaginable sorrows as our sin and all His judgment fell on Him. Look at the crushing load, the colossal burden that the Savior bore. On Him almighty vengeance fell, enough to sink a whole world to hell. And He bore it for a sinful race, that He might become my hiding place. Jesus died for me. He suffered in my place. He endured the wrath of God. He felt the awful, awful weight and judgment my sin deserved. Calvary, the most important place in all the world. Do you know that over His head there was a sign? And over His head it said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth," telling of His despising by the people. "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." But you know, when it said, "This is Jesus," there's something about His name that tells you the reason He was there. Because His name means, do you know? Savior. The rescuer. The deliverer. The one who saves poor sinners who have a precious, precious soul, who are tempted by the world and its ways to stop and think this is all there is, when stretching beyond them is the great eternity. And it's still either heaven or hell. And thank God the Savior was willing to endure all that wrath to save my soul from endless loss. I've got a wonderful Savior. His name is Jesus. He is the Savior. And He's going to keep me forever. Can I ask you something? You know about the Savior. And you've heard about the Savior. But can you say He's yours? Can you say He's my Savior? He died for me. There's nothing like the joy of knowing He paid the price. He settled the problem of our sin forever. And He's enough. He's all you need. The person who knows Him and the work of His salvation never need to fear going down to hell. because He saved us. And He bore that judgment so that we could say, I'm His. And He's mine. And that's a thrill, I hope every single one of you know. Because when the Lord Jesus asked the question, what shall it profit a man, though he might gain a whole world, but to lose his soul? The Lord Jesus had such an important reason for asking it. Because you and I were on his heart. And you and I meant so much to him that he was willing to take our place at the cross. For me he died. For me he lives today. And I trust that everyone here in this gathering tonight can say, He died for me. May God bless His word. Father, we bow in Thy presence tonight to give thanks for the Savior of sinners. We do appreciate the great salvation